League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Chris.
Hey.
And that's Sarah.
It is.
It is indeed, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you all with us. Now, we all have a name. Each one has a meaning, and we identify with what we're called. They're almost like our label, if you like. Companies and brands spend millions on coming up with product names due to the importance of how they'll be perceived and received by the public as well. So, in the words of Billy Shakespeare, what's in a name?
Indeed. So, as listeners will know, my wife and I, Sarah, have had a baby recently. And it took ages to actually drill down into what name we wanted from. We had a shortlist for quite a while, and of which I'm afraid Marcus wasn't on there as much as I tried to get that on there. And, it was funny for us. We had two names that we were going to go with, and it was only when we met him that we were like, yeah, that's his name. Like, it was only really when kind of we saw him that we thought that's definitely what his name is.
I like how you described meeting him.
Yeah.
I found it odd that you didn't just straight away, because when, you know, you told us that he'd been born and you said he wasn't named yet. And I've got to be honest, like, I can't really imagine what that's like, being like.
Yeah. Nope. Well, what it was is I really liked one name. So I liked Lincoln, which is his name. So I won. And my wife, she wasn't so
sure. There are winners and losers.
It's all about winning.
And my wife is not sure about it. She was a bit like, oh, is it too American? And the truth is, I have a professor at university who is called Lincoln Harvey, who when I met him, I thought, that is a really strong name. That is a good name. And so my association with the name Lincoln was not with the president, Abraham Lincoln, but with Lincoln Harvey. And I also thought, it's not that common. Like, there's lots of Chris's. Like, in my church where I go, there's about five of us in the 30s, and once I think four of us were on the same five-a-side team, which we thought was really funny. It was like, oh, we'll call it Crystal Palace and stuff like that. It wasn't funny when you're playing because you're shouting Chris and then no one knows who you're talking to. So Chris is quite a common name for men of my age.
It's my middle name.
So I quite like the fact that there won't be many Lincolns. Like, when you say Lincoln, like, most people around us will know exactly who you're talking about. We did really like Harry, but there's loads of Harrys. And, you know, obviously Harry Potter, Harry Kane, you know, there's loads of them about. We just were a bit like, we like the two, but we were a bit, when we met him, we were like, Lincoln definitely fits this little being as a name.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's funny you talked about, Chris. There are so many people your age with that name. So similar for me, Sarah. You know, in school, there were so many Sarahs. I actually have a real problem because there are four other journalists called Sarah Harris.
Oh, no.
Yep. I honestly don't know how it's happened. But so when I was writing things, I would have to use my middle name as well. So I kind of, in a professional sphere, I go as Sarah Ann Harris because there are just so many. And there's also a Playboy model called Sarah Harris. So careful not to mix those up.
Well, what we did when we were trying to whittle it down was we did the name association game. So I could do it with you guys now, which is where you say a name and then you say the person that comes to your mind. So if I say Brad.
Pitt.
You say, there you go.
Walsh.
That didn't come up for us. How about George?
Clooney.
King.
Jennifer.
Aniston.
There you go.
Love Hewitt.
Right. Cheryl. I got you, Mark.
Oh. Tweedy.
The thing is that there's, when we say these names, they're always associated with somebody that
yeah,
you either
you're
know
right.
or you know of.
It's true. It is absolutely true.
So we went through so many names. I remember being on a long car journey and going through these names. And you basically were like, no, there was a person at my school I didn't like who was named that name. So that's where, again, Lincoln really stood out for me, because the only one I could think of was Abraham. But I did have to do a check to make sure there weren't any sort of serial killers that I wasn't aware of who had that name as well.
That's a good point. That is a good. It's funny how names could change like that. Some are off limits. The girl's name
Adolf.
Isis. Yeah, Adolf is a great example. The girl's name Isis, that's off the table now.
Yeah, and because that's, I actually think that
nice
was
name.
Quite a pretty name. Isn't it the name of like a river or something?
Yeah, Bob Dylan's has a song called Isis, which is a brilliant song as well. So it had a lot going for it, that name, until a group of angry men ruined it.
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
It's always a group of angry men who ruin things.
Yeah.
You know, Adolf, point in case.
Yeah. And when I was on the phone in my job, you know, you would have to sort of spell your name out. And I used to say Harris as in Rolf. Because everyone knows who he was, but obviously I don't really like that association anymore, do I?
Yeah. Rolf is another one that's gone by the wayside.
Yeah, exactly.
And there will be somebody or some people out there who were called Rolf after Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
If you don't know who he is, ladies and gentlemen, look him up.
Oh dear.
But mind how you go. It's true. I mean, it's named. It's a funny thing. Have you ever heard somebody say, he looks more like a Tom than a. You know, what is that?
I don't know who said it, but there's a funny quote I read. Someone said, why do all seagulls look like Emma? Like, there's just this,
it's true.
Like animals having names as well.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Did you know in 1948 there was a study done on names?
I actually did.
Yes, but... please.
I'll let you have this one, Marcus. Go on.
You are very kind. It was two professors at Harvard University. They studied 300 men and to see whether the men's names had any effect on their academic performance.
Oh.
And there are interesting results, shall I say. The study observed that those with more unusual names dropped out, didn't do so well, and had symptoms of psychological neurosis. Now, this was in 1948. Jeez. It was a very different world. And so people's names were probably maybe not as garish as they are now. Or certainly you had less immigration, for example. So you were used to names sounding in a certain way. So we should clarify that. This was in 1948. So if your name's
different
Lincoln,
millennia.
You've still got a great chance. Yeah, exactly. of course, that name wouldn't be unheard of even then. There are many studies on this that suggest that our names can influence our choice of profession, who we marry, where we live, much, much more. Now, obviously, these studies are controversial, and some people say, "Well, no, you're just finding what you want to see," and a bit like star signs or something like that. But there is, I think, a little bit more into it. I don't think it's nonsense like star signs. I think there is something in this. So there is a thing called implicit egotism, which is where people gravitate towards people, places, and things that resemble the self. It reflects an unconscious process that is grounded in people's favorable self associations. That makes sense. We all have that. That can look very, very ugly indeed, especially in light of certain events and other things. It can be, you know, sort of fairly mundane and so on. And perhaps this is one of them, because obviously we value and identify with our own names. So, and some of these studies suggest that we prefer things that we may perceive or in fact do have something in common with our names, which is quite interesting.
That's really interesting.
So if you see... If you see something which is a sort of a familiar name, or it, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm looking at chocolate bars and I see Mars Bar and it's similar to Marcus or something, I don't know. Yeah. I prefer a Kit Kat, to be honest with you, which rubbishes these studies straight away. But it is a little thing that names are important, Sarah Harris, you have to agree.
They are. And you know what? I think there's definitely an element of people getting judged on their names as well. You know, people like to infer certain things from names, whether it's, you know, if people are showing kind of biased against people of certain races. People assume a certain class from a name. People, you know, a lot of assumptions are made on a name when actually, you know, you don't even choose it for yourself. Obviously, you can change it, but you know, like you can't help what your parents picked.
Well, apparently the name Kevin back in the day.
Yeah.
So I've heard people say Kevin they felt was quite a, how can I put this sort of diplomatically, a bit of a chav's name.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like as in it was
I know what you mean.
Diplomatic. But and of course I've never thought of that name particularly.
When I was growing up in Devon, it was before I'd heard of the word chav, but we would call people a Kev.
Yeah, there you go. Which is,
yeah,
it's funny, isn't it?
I think Gary Boys was another colloquial from somewhere else. The same sort of thing. You're talking about working class men, really.
Yeah. Whereas now you think of cultured Belgian midfielders.
Yes, you do.
I definitely do.
Take our word for that, Sarah. Well, do you know what? On the subject of footballers, as loathed as I am to go in that direction.
Go on, then.
Think about Brazilian footballers. They're often referred to by the one name.
Yeah.
Now, that sometimes is because they've got about five names. Or sometimes it is a kind of a sort of a branding thing, almost like an identity. The greatest nickname ever is probably Pelé. I mean, that's how he's known. He doesn't even know what it means. Kids started calling him at school once when he did something and he got really angry and they didn't know what it was. And it was probably just some weird thing. And it's now... you know, he is Pelé.
Synonymous. You would have been one of the greatest footballers ever.
Exactly. But the name Pelé, you think, oh my, well, that's just sort of class and brilliance and all the rest of it.
You know, you've made it when you're known by one name, don't you? Like Madonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just one name. Prince.
You know, Rolf.
No.
But sometimes these things can go quite deep. I mean, staying in the sports arena, obviously, the very famous name change was Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Clay, he said, was his slave name or a family slave name in you know, back in history. And I think Muhammad, because he converted to Islam, I think.
Yeah.
He certainly did, but, you know, just as I'm suddenly thinking of... the story, you know, yeah, but that a very, very well-known name change. And he didn't do it when he was, before he became a boxer, you know, he did it when he had some notoriety.
He was in the thick of it at that point, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
And you do see it with sports stars even now where, you know, they might be naming as Andy Cole is a good example. And then at some point they go, I want to be Andrew, as in like, I've grown up now. Like, there's something powerful when you change your name, isn't there? Where you are sending a message when you decide to change your name or be known as something other than what you were known as before.
It's true. I mean, this is what I have very complex feelings around changing your name when you get married.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so obviously I'm not married. Especially because, you know, I have written a lot under my name. I have, you know, that's my... almost my trademark. I've also been known as Harris a lot, like all through uni and in one of my old jobs. No one called me Sarah. I was Harris.
Too many Sarahs.
Well, exactly. But so the thought of just losing the Harris just because of tradition makes me a bit like, oh, but why would I have to do that? I'm Harris. That's me.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, it's a tricky one.
It is a flipping tricky one, Marcus.
Yeah, I think that why a lot of people who are in the public eye, they have their professional name, don't they, if they decide to take their husband's name. I quite like the idea, although people seem to think that this is quite commonplace in certain countries. I really don't think it is. But I quite like the idea of an amalgamation. You come up with your surname.
Well, that was the plan I had with my ex, is that we thought, right, we'd smush our names together and make something.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, you know, I don't think the woman should automatically have to take the man's name because, well, why should you? But equally, the man shouldn't have to take the woman's name. So, like, I quite like the idea of just inventing something new.
harder to trace then, isn't it? Or to track. Like, there used to be a lot of emphasis placed on being able to know your lineage or your family tree. But I guess if everybody's creating brand new names, that'd be a lot harder to
find out your heritage.
But then in some places,
not
though,
as much you, anymore. I think
in some places, though, the surname would be the name of the father and then son on the end.
Ah, yes.
That is true.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be. I like the idea of both, the husband and wife having the same surname. I think the syncing up is important.
Yeah, that's what I felt, is that I don't really want to just compromise on losing mine for a man's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I would like us to have the same name.
So when you were saying about smushing them together, would you literally put the two surnames together, or would you do something brand new?
Maybe obviously it would depend on who it was, but some of them do quite naturally. Like, I know a few people who've done it and they've made, not bizarre names, but yeah.
If you marry Jason Crapstone, then that wouldn't really work very well for you, would it?
not hugely. Also, the problem is if they have a double-barreled name.
Yeah, well, there you go. They've taken that option. Someone else has taken that option, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like, come on, you can't triple barrel. Come on.
I think it's interesting with people sometimes think, our names, are they important and so on? And in this country, perhaps names, we don't think of the meaning so much behind a name. We just think, as you say, Chris, do we like the sound of it? Does it remind us of, what's the association there? Which is perfectly valid, of course. But I tell you what, it's not nice when someone forgets your name. If you think that person should know your name, if you know what it's like, if you've met someone a handful of times and you think, you're desperately trying to ask, what's that name again? Because it's gone past the point you think, I should know their name. This is bad. Why do we have that feeling? Because it's important, because that name is that identity of that person. And remembering people's names is always seen as a favorable thing to be able to do, and people feel valued. They said that about Sir Alex Ferguson when he was at Manchester United. He'd walk in, he'd know everybody's names, even if the guy taking out the bin bags had just arrived. By the next day he knew his name, and that was that, and blah 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 blah. There's something important about that.
I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting thinking about this before we went on air as well. Like, if you remove someone's name, then like they would do in the Nazi concentration camps, then you replace it with a number. That does remove the humanity from someone. Like, it does. It takes away, as you said, kind of
identity.
And also, like, you're not acknowledging that they exist as a human being anymore. That they belong to the nameable world, so to speak. Like. And so it is dehumanizing, and it makes things less real when it's not been named. Like, if a friend of mine talks a lot about how he used to be a drug addict for a long, long time, and naming that to him actually helped him to move forward. Like, to name something brings power to it, or makes it more real as well.
So actually, it's interesting on that point. One of the things which I know the media has sometimes struggled with is when there has been some kind of terror attack or other horrendous crime, what they should be doing when the suspect is named. So, for example, do you remember there was that awful, awful attack on a mosque in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Jacinda Ardern, the leader of New Zealand, said, I will not be using his name, because it was that thing of, we don't want to give him notoriety. Yeah. Having his name splashed across the papers to some people gives them power and gives them what they wanted. So
there is something in that.
Yeah.
There's definitely something in that.
I thought that was really interesting.
And also, Sarah, did you say, on a previous show, like, that they name a storm that's coming because people remember the names of the storm? Is that right?
Yeah. So it's it really, for some reason, if you give it a name, people seem to kind of latch onto the information better. And in terms of communication, instead of just talking about the very serious weather front that's coming, if you say Storm Helen or whatever, people seem to kind of take on board the information much more effectively.
Yeah, it just makes it more real, doesn't it? Like, Helen's on the way.
Remember, because this year we've had Dennis and all of that, and Storm Kira.
Because you've got to be careful with the names you give them, because if it was like a little storm, but it's not that big, but it was Storm Zeus. You think, bloody hell, we're moving. You know, oh, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'll be honest with you, Storm Dennis doesn't really frighten me, I think to myself.
Oh, he did quite a bit of damage, you know.
I know, but that's what I mean. I think Storm Dennis, I'm not even going to close the windows. You know, but then I'd have been in real trouble. You know, Iceland has some regulations in place with baby names.
Do they?
I think it's a tiny little country, very small population.
No, not the food stuff.
Not the food stuff, no. That's very different. It is up to the Iceland Naming Committee to decide whether or not the name chosen for a baby is acceptable.
No.
And I love this image. You think Iceland, you think these sort of Nordic sort of kings and queens with big beards and big, you know, you can imagine some sort of...
They're Vikings, aren't they? They're all Vikings.
Yeah, like some sort of scene out of Thor, you know, yes. Somebody presents the baby to these people who are wearing sort of animal furs and they're, you know, sort of, I don't know, you can't call him Dennis for crying out loud. He won't fit in around here. But I like the name Dennis, by the way. And if there's any Dennises out there, don't be a menace. Lol.
Dennis Storm Spotter.
Yeah, exactly. But if the name is not on the National Register of Persons, one can pay to apply for approval, but the name must pass a few tests.
Oh.
They need to be able to run across far. No, they need to. It needs to fit grammatically within the Icelandic language. It must align with Icelandic traditions. It must be gender specific and only contain letters in the Icelandic alphabet.
This is a bit much.
It's quite narrow.
That's how
isn't it?
Well, I suppose they're trying to protect their culture. Maybe
because they're such all a small called Gudjonsson.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
Well, no, but he's Gudjon's son, isn't he? That's the way his Ida is his first name. You see what I mean?
I don't know.
So that's Ida would be the name, which would need to, if it wasn't in the Iceland naming committee's book or whatever, you know, then they would need to present him to the kings and queens, or, you know, that weird scenario I just imagined up. But France is another one. Now, since 1993, France hasn't had a list of authorized French names, but it used to up until the early 90s. You couldn't call your son or daughter a foreign name in France, I believe. You can now, but up until 1993, you couldn't. France was quite strict.
Just think this is a bit silly.
Well, they're quite, I think the French are quite protective of sort of French culture. Where they can, although of course as the world moves on they've had to kind of let go of a few things. But the name as it reads here, the name chosen must not bestow a name on a child which is contrary to the best interests of the child, which basically means this is a rule that puts a stop to calling the child, you know, the examples they've put, Nutella, strawberry and zigzag, although I'm pretty sure like we've got children named after fruits here. You know,
Gwyneth Paltrow's kid, Apple.
Apple, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Peach is Geldof.
But yes, but a child can't be called the last name of one of its parents, so it couldn't be called Neville, for example.
Oh, in Wales, you've got a dime a dozen of those.
Yeah,
everyone's called John, Thomas, Reese.
Yeah, that's just lazy, isn't it?
Someone with a stutter.
I was in school with the Will Williams, like.
Yeah. France isn't actually officially called France. Did you know that?
What's it officially called, Marcus?
The French Republic. That is the official name of the country.
Did we talk about another country that tried to rebrand their name and it didn't catch on?
Yep. I can bring that to the table.
Oh, here
right
he comes. Sir. Here he goes.
The Czech Republic said a few years ago they wanted to be known as Czechia.
Oh, yeah.
To make it easier for companies and sports teams to use it on products and clothing, according to the
How's
BBC.
How's that working out for them?
Nobody knew.
No.
Czechia. What is that? Is that Chechnya? No, that's a... Oh, you're the Czech Republic. Oh, right. You're the Czech Republic.
Oh, God. Sorry about that, guys.
Bad.
It's
crazy, yeah. The other one that happened recently where a country had to have a bit of a rebrand or a new name was, you know, in the 1990s, you had the breakup of the former Yugoslavia now, which created sort of a handful of new nations in Croatia and Serbia and Etal. And one of them was Macedonia. But Macedonia is also the name of a bordering region of Greece.
Fucking heck. guys.
So that would be like, yeah, but it would be like Wales, say. Let's say Wales thought, right, we've had enough of the name Wales. Let's call ourselves Shropshire. And you've got to go, but there's a Shropshire in England. What have you done that for? Yeah, we're Shropshire now.
No, we like it. Sorry, we're having it.
Do it again. Do it again. And this has gone on for over 20 years. And finally, Macedonia now is called North Macedonia.
Oh, for
so it'd be
goodness.
Like Wales after 20 odd years going, all right, fine, we're West Shropshire. Fine, okay, right, you're West Shropshire. Done. You know,
I love the
people that probably ended up at that airport. That's the thing. Like, where are we? Oh, we're meant to be in Greece, for goodness sake.
Like, yeah, wait a minute.
I know. That's the thing. But there are some other. Countries that, of course, have radically changed their names. You know, Rhodesia comes to mind. I didn't realise that was named after Cecil Rhodes. How bad is that?
I know.
Of course, now Zimbabwe. Burma to Myanmar was another one. And then this one, I didn't know, Sri Lanka used to be called Ceylon.
Yeah.
I think it's pronounced Ceylon,
yes.
Which was originally, I think it was the Portuguese name originally. And then they changed it to the name in 1972. They changed it to the Free Sovereign Independent Republic of Sri Lanka, or Sri Lanka.
It
to
doesn't
their
roll
friends.
Off the tongue, does it?
No, it doesn't. So they changed it, Sarah, in 1978 to the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka.
I like their long names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a bit like is it the People's Republic of China? It's called.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You think which people? That's what I want to know. You know, it's for everybody. Is it? Okay. Let's not get into that. Which I called them when I was stadium hosting at the Paralympics. It was at the Blind Five-a-Side Football, and I announced that the Democratic Republic of China. Fortunately, there was nobody in the stadium, or no officials or anything like that. But I got a quick.
They're always listening, Marcus. You're
never going to be allowed in that country now.
I'm going to walk through the. Yeah, I'll walk through. Oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, the Forbidden City in the. But hang on a minute, you're that little punk, aren't you?
Yeah. No, I changed my name. It's not Marcus anymore.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Yeah. I'm the people's champion, Marcus Speller. That's what I am.
People's princess.
Yeah.
That's our Marcus.
That's us. That's us. So, yeah. So yes.
Speaking of name changes, you know the one that really annoyed me, and I continue to hold this grudge approximately, 25 years later?
Snickers.
No, I'm too young for that.
Okay.
Starburst.
Opal fruits felt really appropriate. They're fruity. Uh-huh. What does Starburst mean? What is that? What you've just like isn't pulled that out of thin air.
So isn't that to do with there wasn't any fruit in it, so they couldn't do that? Because
but it's
supposed
fruit
to,
flavored. Come it's, on. It's it doesn't like, taste what's it called? There's no star in it.
It's far yes, very true.
Just call them opals then.
No, but I think it's to do with false advertising, like don't pretend that there's fruit in it or something.
Surely not. Yeah.
But as you said, there's no star in it.
Can I indulge you? Can I indulge myself for a minute?
Go on.
I went on a little boat party down the Thames. I was invited. You know, the kind of thing. It was around Christmas time, and there was quite a few people on this boat, and it was a work thing. And my mates and I, we got off the boat. It was probably about 11 o'clock in the evening, something like that, walking along the Thames in central London, lovely part of the world. And there was a group who were on the boat as well, and they were kind of, they were leaving the boat at the same time as us, you're walking down. And there's a club not that far from there, near Embankment Tube Station, for those who know it. And this girl from this group turned around to us and said, guys, do you know where the Opal nightclub is? And I said, we don't actually. I saw a group going up over there, but I should warn you, actually, it's not called the Opal Nightclub anymore. And she went, really? I went, yeah, it's called the Starburst Nightclub.
Oh, Marcus. That is the most new thing I have ever heard.
Come on. I humbly think that's excellent behaviour.
You would. You flipping would.
Thing is, with Snickers, the name change with Snickers ruined a perfectly good joke, which was, I once entered a marathon, chocolate and peanuts all over me, what's it? You know, but you can't say that anymore.
No. I did hear they were going to go back to that name.
Wow.
All right, Sarah.
After Brexit, they're going to go back to that name and they'll blame the EU for it.
Amazing. It's all worthwhile for that.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Oh my giddy aunt.
Giddy aunt.
Yeah. There we are. Well, I think we've peaked there, ladies and gentlemen. We knew we could.
One man's peak, another man's trough.
All woman, Sarah. All woman.
Woman.
All woman. There we are. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. We're on social media. You know this by now. At AQQAPod on the Instas and the Twitters. Give us a nice review. We do love that. But until next week, say goodbye, Chris.
From me, Boaty McBoatface.
Say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.